Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus teaches his disciples, both then and us today, about the signs that will accompany the last day. And perhaps surprisingly, this is one instance in which the popular understanding of the end of the world is not too far off from the truth. Read any dystopian novel, watch any big budget disaster film, or watch any TV show set in a post-apocalyptic future, and you'll see something kind of like what Jesus describes here in our gospel lesson. Signs in sun and moon and stars. On the earth, distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Certainly, pop culture gets a lot wrong, especially when it comes to the scriptures. But again, they're not too far off with this. The end of time will be marked with catastrophe and fear. But it's not just the inevitable passing away of heaven and earth that is marked by distress, perplexity, fear, and foreboding. No. It's how many people face their own inevitable passing away as well. You see, every single person ever to live in this world will eventually experience a last day for themselves. And no matter how much you exercise, no matter how well you eat, no matter how often you take your vitamins, there's no getting around it. Your time on earth will end someday. For a few, in the totality of human history, for a very few, that last day will be shared with the entire universe when the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, comes with a cloud and power and great glory to judge both the living and the dead. For a couple, Enoch and Elijah, their last day was being taken immediately to heaven. For most of us, however, that last day will come upon us and us alone. Maybe in our bed, maybe in a hospital room, who knows where. One way or the other, if you are a human being, the end is surely drawing near. Nearer today than it was yesterday. And again, that may be the end of the world, which no one knows the date except God. But it could also be the end of your life. For as Martin Luther once said, death is every individual's last day. For many people, again, that thought is a terrifying thought. And that's always been the case, sure, since death entered the world because of one man's sin. But it seems like in our day and age, the thought of death and the end of life on earth seems to be all the more fearful and foreboding. One of the reasons for that, I think, is that death is not just simply not a daily concern for most of us, at least not here in the United States. For centuries upon centuries, and even still today around the world, people lived with a relative familiarity with death. They saw it. They experienced it. But here, medicine, hygiene, technology have all advanced by leaps and bounds in the last couple of centuries, and that means that we don't have to worry each day about things like famine and pestilence. We don't have to worry about war and terrorism. Yet, despite all of our advancements, we can't totally escape the reality of death. Despite all our best efforts, starvation and exposure still exist in the world. People, yes, here in our land, still die from incurable diseases. Wars and violence continue to happen all around the globe. Terrorists still attack cities and communities. No matter where you live, no matter when you live, you are going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Again, for many people, when they are confronted by the reality of death, whether that be their own death or the death of those they know and love, it's a distressing and perplexing thing. fearful and foreboding thought. And so most people try to push the thought of death and the end out of their minds as quickly as and quietly as possible. Shield ourselves and shield our children from places like hospitals and hospice centers and funeral homes. Try not to speak about death or funerals or burials. Instead, we try to talk about going on to a better place or celebrating life. And people weigh down their hearts with easier burdens to bear than grief and sorrow, dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, says Jesus. It's eating and drinking and all those other obligations and pastimes and pleasures and responsibilities that come with daily life. And this is especially a warning we ought to heed this time of year, during these weeks leading up to Christmas, when it becomes very easy to weigh down our hearts with things like dissipation, more or less wild partying, which of course goes along with drunkenness. And that is very common in this season of get-togethers. And of course, there are so many cares of this life during this month that we can hardly name them all. The gifts need to be bought, the cards that need to be written, the cleaning and the cooking that you need to get done before the family arrives, the stuff that you hope to get under the tree on Christmas morning, the bills that are coming after the holiday ends, and the list goes on and on. But of course, it's not only December that is filled with dissipation, drunkenness, and cares of this life. We have the rest of the calendar as well. No matter when, we can find all kinds of things to weigh our hearts down, that we don't have to think about our own mortality, the passing away of heaven and earth, and finally the reason for both of these things, that is, sin. Nevertheless, Jesus says plainly, heaven and earth will pass away. It's going to happen. And furthermore, you will pass away too. That is certain. No matter how much you might try to distract yourself from that truth, you cannot change it. You have sinned, and therefore you will die. And the proof that you were a sinner comes from the fact that you die. If you had not sinned, you would never die. Nor would all creation, for that matter, but it's the corruption of sin that leads to creation groaning in bondage. The end of that bondage is coming. So again, for many, the end will be a time of distress and perplexity, fear and foreboding, because that day is going to come upon them suddenly like a trap. The signs are all there, Jesus says, and yet their hearts are weighed down. And so with hearts weighed down, many will be totally unprepared for the end. And then they will experience what the Lord declared through the prophet Malachi, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch." We should be clear about one thing. It's not an outcome in which God takes pleasure. God does not desire the everlasting death of the wicked, but rather he would have them turn, live. This is why he has given his word through the prophets and the apostles throughout the centuries. This is why he sent men like Malachi, whose proclamations were written for our instruction. This is why he preached to his disciples and willed for that preaching to be recorded by the evangelist Luke upon inspiration of the Holy Spirit. His will is that sinners turn from their evil way and live. His will is that all reach repentance. His will is that you, through the instruction of the Lord, that is his holy word, would be watchful and awake, and thus face the end, whether it be the end of your life or the end of all creation, not with distress and perplexity, not with fear and foreboding, but with endurance and encouragement, with hope. Where again, Malachi preaches, the same sun that will rise to burn the arrogant and the evildoers, setting them ablaze, is the Son of Righteousness that will rise on those who fear God's name with healing in his wings. And the coming of the Son of Man, which will be like a trap for those whose hearts are weighed down by dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, will come as the redemption for all who trust in him. So for this reason, the last day, the end, whether that be personally or universally, the end, which is a cause of great fear and trembling for so many people, the end is a reason for hope, even joy for us. Trust in the Lord Jesus for our everlasting salvation. That's why the words used in Holy Scripture to describe the end are so vastly different. For the unbeliever, we hear words like burning and stubble, ablaze, destruction, distress, perplexity, fainting, fear, foreboding. But for the believer, we hear words like righteousness, healing, leaping like calves from the stall. We're called to straighten up and raise our heads. Our redemption draws near. You're encouraged to endurance, having encouragement and hope, to live in harmony, rejoicing, praising, extolling, having joy and peace. Yes, for the believer, the perception of the end is very different. Again, whether that be the end of your life and death, or the end of all creation when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. It is a good thing, something for which we long. But how can we do this? We see all things passing away around us. We see the signs in sun and moon and stars. We recognize the distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. How, amid such signs of the coming end and the passing away of heaven and earth, how can we be sure that we ourselves are not in danger of passing away with such things? Our only confidence can be found in God's word. Hear again what St. Paul writes. Through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And Jesus Christ our Lord says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Very similar to what he inspired the prophet Isaiah to proclaim hundreds of years earlier. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. This is true. God's word endures, for God himself endures. God is eternal, and therefore God's word is eternal. It shall never fail. God remains forever. And therefore, you, dear Christians, you may have confidence that you will endure. You will remain forever, even as heaven and earth pass away. St. Peter explains this beautifully in chapter 1 of his first letter. First, he quotes from the prophet Isaiah, "All flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever." Now hear what he writes next. "And this word is the good news preached to you." So Peter concludes, "Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." Dear Christians, you have been born of water and the word of God in holy baptism. You have been made God's own dear, beloved child. You have been declared an heir of the kingdom of heaven. And the word that accomplished all of this with the water is a word that will never pass away, for it is Jesus' own imperishable word. And if you have been born anew of that imperishable word, you will never pass away. God has declared you to be righteous and innocent in his sight. Because that imperishable word endures forever, you will remain righteous, innocent, now, in the day of judgment, and forevermore. Yes, heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus' words will not pass away, nor will you who have been born of that word. The powers of the heavens will be shaken, but you are the Lord's, who is at the right hand of the Father, that you may not be shaken. Therefore, let your hearts be glad, and your tongues rejoice, and your flesh also dwell in hope. The sea and the waves will roar, But God is your refuge and your strength, a very present help in trouble. And therefore do not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. He shall never die again. And therefore, by the power of his word, you who believe in him, though you die, yet shall you live. And all you who live and believe in him shall never die. The end is coming. The end is coming upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. If not that great and final day of the Lord, then that day when you take your final breath and depart this earthly life. By faith, you know that's not the end of your existence, no. But rather the beginning of your eternal heavenly existence in the blessed presence of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Knowing that, therefore, let not your hearts be weighed down, but lift up your hearts. Yes, lift them up to the Lord. Straighten up and raise your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. From the earliest days of the Christian church to now and until Christ's return, let believers look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the last day with hope, not fear. Christ told us to pray, let the Father's kingdom come. Whether we realize it or not, when most of us pray our meal prayers, we pray for the same thing. Come, Lord Jesus. And the Bible itself ends with this promise in prayer. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Yes, dear Christians, the end is coming. So straighten up and raise your heads. Be sure, be confident that your redemption is drawing near. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.